What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Danielle,
hello,
what's happening?
Hello.
It's good to be back. I'm excited. Man, I was in Florida, and it was absolutely crazy. We shot three alligators. Ooh. One was 8 foot four, one was 8 foot six, and one was 9 foot one. But I have to tell you, the craziest, yeah, that's a big gator.
That is huge.
Yeah, we had like 70 pounds of meat off of that guy, and we just take the tail and the tenderloins. But I went iguana hunting.
My friend Brianna went iguana hunting. She got one, I think, was at least like 6 foot long.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
I have one at the taxidermist down there.
Do you? Wait, from this past
weekend? From this past weekend, yeah. Nice. I shot one that was about 6 feet long. I was showing the guys in the studio this earlier. And, man, that is a crazy experience. Because you're in canals in people's backyards, literally in people's backyards, and you're shooting them with a high-powered air gun out of trees and off their lawns because the people want them gone. They're an invasive species, and they dig into the ground and ruin like the culture on the sides of the dikes.
Yeah.
And so it was absolutely horrible, the damage that they do. So that was, I'm going to tell you, if you get a chance, get down there to Florida. You have to go to Southern Florida to do it and go iguana hunting. It is just a blast. Now, I don't know what they taste like yet, but no, I will.
That's definitely on my bucket list to do. And they look so beautiful, too, all the colors.
Yeah,
to me, they look beautiful.
Becky didn't think they were beautiful. No. She thought they were absolutely gross. But she only saw them like dead, being put into a trash bag. So
that's kind of how I feel about turkeys, though. Their face is disgusting, but their feathers
are
beautiful.
But they're still pretty. No, God,
their face is hideous.
Turkeys definitely have a majestic appeal to them. That's for sure. Man, we have an awesome show today. I'm jacked.
Me too.
There's a guy I met not too long ago, and I got to see some of the trophies that he has, and I'm talking about an entire room, like your dream man room, filled.
My dream man room?
Anybody's dream man room. Your dream,
my dream woman room.
Hey, isn't it 2022 and all those terms are like negotiable and you can use them across the board?
But so
I can call it your man room. It is mean, and I like
to argue. So
it's, but okay, so your woman room, your man room,
the man cave,
your cave, your lady shack, call it whatever you like.
Love shack, baby.
All right.
Okay.
How did it take us like 5 seconds? You know, the Kennedy clan's listening to us out in Oconomowoc right now.
And Robin loves me.
I know Robin loves you.
I love you, Robin.
I was talking to her. I shared her number or your number with her. I hope that's okay.
Nice.
And she's like, oh, Danielle. I'm like, she's not that great, for God's sake.
Danielle, come be my call. Okay.
Yeah, she's Robin's great. Calvin, what's happening? Calvin, I don't have you on my little screen today, just so you know. I can't see your movements because you're not on my little screen.
Is he laughing?
Calvin? No. Calvin's very serious today.
Why are you being
Calvin?
Serious, Calvin?
Oh, there you are. Calvin, can you hear me?
Calvin, yes, can I can hear you, Joel. You sound great.
Hey, man. Okay, look.
We need to go back to the Cabela's in this person's house.
Yes. So I go into... I meet a guy, Paul House. I'd like to actually call him a friend right away because we hit it off instantly. And he's got this man room, and it's filled with, no joke, it's got to have 30 bucks in it.
Ooh.
30 white-tailed deer bucks. And they're all like 160 or bigger. I've never seen anything like this. Like, if you took one of these bucks and put it in a house, like one of them, people would come in and say, that's the biggest buck I have ever seen. And it's like, you almost don't even get how huge they all are because they're all together and they're all massive. So I get to talking to the guy. And of course, he's got a history in outdoor television.
Oh.
And, you know,
kind of perfect for you, too.
It's perfect for you. Well, you co-hosted my television show, our television show here. And now I get the chance to work for The Fowl Life and Ted Nugent's Spirit of the Wild on the Outdoor Channel, which is awesome.
It is.
And so the man's name is Paul House. And he is like the deer whisperer. I'm not even kidding about that. Like, this guy has deer hunting down to a level I have never comprehended before.
I'm very excited.
And I can't even believe that I was able to convince him to come into the show today. Paul, welcome to 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, Raised in Wisco with Joel and Danielle. It is so great to have you here because we are 2 days away from the Wisconsin gun season. The Orange Army is going to hit the woods and fields of the state of Wisconsin. And here you are right with us. And you brought your lovely wife, Tracy, with you. And we have Rob Brennecke in the studio as well with us. And Brennecke, we had a heck of a duck hunt this morning, didn't we? We had our limit of mallards in about an hour.
They had incredible. To be pretty with all the snow falling down. Oh my gosh,
it was incredible.
I love winter hunts.
Paul, talk to me. Let me be your student. Be my mentor in deer hunting, because I have never seen anything like that. Welcome to the show. How did you get into deer hunting? How are you such a guru and so well-respected in the deer hunting community? How did you do a TV show? And how do you kill these giant deer?
Wait, do we have an antler Christmas tree?
No, I do not.
I want
that
one really
will be
bad.
One thing that I will get to next. But I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. So yeah, a little background. I mean, I was pretty much born into the deer hunting. So my grandfather, used to go up to Madeline Island and always hunt. And my dad and I would stay back home and, we would just hunt, you know, some farmers' properties that we had around the area in Jefferson County. And of course, you know, I was out since I was 3 years old and, I'll never forget the most memorable time when I was with my dad one day. I think I was about 9. He's like, hey, I'm going to take this hay bale. We're going to go sit out in the edge of this cornfield. I always watch these deer cross over the top of these roads, and they always head over into the adjoining marsh. So we're sitting there. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we hear tires squealing. And my dad's like, somebody just locked the brakes up because the deer just crossed. And I'm like, no, you know, of course I'm young.
How old were you?
9 years old.
Okay.
And we're sitting
on the edge. Get them out there young. I love it.
We're like 2 rows into the edge of the corn, facing north. All of a sudden, I hear corn exploding. And I turn around and look, and this buck is coming at us like full bore. And I start about filling my pants. I'm just like, and he is, I mean, he's going to run us over. And my dad jumps up and he yells at the deer and it takes 2 bounds to the left. And my dad, at like, it was only one shotgun barrel away, pulls the trigger and drops the buck. Well, here it was the farmer who had locked the brakes up. He was driving down to go check on his other farm and the buck had crossed. You know, it was whatever, 110, 120 inches.
That's a heck of a story. That's how to start.
I was so hooked after that. I was just like, I mean, it scared the crap out of me, but having that experience.
That adrenaline, doing it with your dad. I mean, does it get any better than that, really, as a young kid?
It doesn't. And from there, I was just hooked. And so we ended up, when I turned 12, unfortunately, that farmer would not let us hunt anymore. So we started hunting some public ground around there. And so my father put me up into a tree. It was opening morning, 12 years old. It was a big, huge oak tree on the edge of this bean field. And so he gave me 6 slugs and helped me get up into the tree. And he walked back into the public a little bit and, you know, maybe 100 yards or so. And this vehicle comes boiling down the road and I see it hit its brakes and I look down the edge of the field and all I see is this freaking huge buck standing there.
And you're having deja vu.
It is right
up
across
again.
The street, believe it or
Did
not,
you
where
ever
we were.
Have a clean pair of pants after you hunted?
No. And we can even get into that when I started drinking. Clean. Hey, it really got worse when I got the legal age to drink.
Deer pants fever.
Oh, yeah. So these idiots jump out of the vehicle and they start blazing away at this buck from the road.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not even kidding you. And the thing comes running right at me and it is just boiling 100 miles an hour. Of course, I don't know, 200 yards, 300 yards, 500.
And you got a
12 years old.
Shotgun.
Oh, you know
slug.
It. 2 3/4 inch Remington.
Slugs at that point.
Nope. So I start wailing away at this thing. And at the time, now we know it was 300-400 yards and I'm shooting and the deer's still running at me. And my last shell, and I shoot, and I see the thing stumbling. It comes right underneath my tree. I still got 2 slugs in my pocket because I had 5 shells. And it comes underneath the tree and it gets his horns caught in the barbed wire fence underneath my tree. And I'm digging for these slugs and I drop them both on the ground.
Oh, no.
So at this time, my dad turned around and started coming back at
me. My palms are sweaty.
I know. This is making me nervous. Yeah.
So this buck ends up getting untangled. I'm about ready to throw my gun at it, you know, because I'm like, I got nothing left.
Tim Wells.
It runs through and my dad sees it. He doesn't get a clean shot at it, crosses the road again and goes into some other land. So we ended up following the blood, never found the deer. Aww. 3 days later, a gentleman my dad know watched it cross the road, and I had hit it in the leg is what I did. And the guy said it was one of the biggest deer he's ever seen in his life. So, so that was my first opening morning, being able to hunt by myself at 12 years old. And needless to say, it was an experience. I'll never forget it. That oak tree is still there to this day.
That's nice.
And so I actually told my my son Stevie the other day when we drove by. I told him about the story and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. But so that's how I kind of got into it. And then, you know, I kind of sort of drifted away for a while. I started my business when I was 20, doing concrete construction on my own. And then about 23 or so, for a couple of years there, I kind of got out of it. And then when I got 23, I really started to dig into the stuff. And in 1996, my father shot the number, which is now number two in Jefferson County. It was number one for a long time. And it grossed 199 and 3/8.
Holy cow.
As non-typical. As a typical, it's still number two today in Jefferson County. I think it's 178 and some change. So I was hunting. My dad had purchased a farm now at this time. I think we'd owned the farm for 3 years. And I remember sitting in the bow stand about 2 weeks earlier. And we had just put a bunch of the farm into a permanent set-aside program. Warm season grasses, scrapes all over. And the grass was only 18 inches tall. And I remember looking out in this field, and I remember this bush appearing, and I'm like, what in the heck is that? You know, and of course, back then, you know, I got Walmart binoculars, and I'm looking through it, and I'm half cross-eyed.
Freeze that story, because we have a commercial break coming up, and that's how fast this radio show will go. We're already done with a quarter of it. But when we come back, I want you to finish that story. Then I want to talk to you about the fact that the deer on your wall, any one of those deer is literally a buck of a lifetime for anybody, and you got a room full of bucks of a lifetime. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We got Paul House with us today, the Deer Whisperer. We'll be right back. Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, coming to you live from the Fishbowl downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. We got Robbie Brennecke in the studio sitting silently without a microphone by design. Tracy House is here, and Paul House, the star of the show, House Contractors. We'll give him a little plug there. If you ever need anything with your house taken care of, what a coincidence. Your name is House, and you take care of roofs on houses.
I feel like you guys need to have the Welcome to My House theme song.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's a great idea, as a matter of fact.
There House you go. Contractors. She's the master of marketing.
H-A-U-S-Z, and he's a legit dude, so I'd love to throw him some business. So if you are out there and you need something done, look up House Contractors. Because I'm telling you what, they do a great job, and you got to look out because there's some sketchy cats out there, that's for sure. We went into the break talking about how Paul has become one of the quintessentially best deer hunters in the state of Wisconsin, probably in the Midwest, with the collection of deer he has and the size.
Yeah, the few pictures
and the patience.
That I've seen.
And this... and the hour's going to go like lightning round, Danielle.
It is.
I mean, for real.
Oh, I would believe it, especially when they know how to talk.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking. Thank you.
Well, guests are always better when they talk.
They are.
Yeah, usually. I mean,
Well, pantomimes don't work great on the radio. That's for sure. Paul, you were talking to us about your first experience and then, you know, getting into hunting, how you became a serious deer hunter. So pick up your story from there, from the break.
Yep. So So anyway, so I see this bush, which I think has just appeared out of nowhere, and put my wonderful Walmart binoculars up, and I see this just gigantic buck, and he's actually on his knees, and he's crawling across this grass field, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. So fast forward 2 days later, I have an encounter with him, and he actually comes down this tree line, and actually when he was running, his literally head was bobbing back and forth. His antlers were so heavy. So I don't get a crack at him, get into the gun season. Some guys were driving some land back then, which was prevalent, and he had actually jumped the road on us, and he actually came back. They pushed him over. Long story short, my dad and his friend do a one-man drive, and my father ends up killing that deer that afternoon. So when I actually got my hands to look at that deer, I was so intrigued on the mass and just how incredible that God's creations are, and how does that animal get to be that big, and what does it take to do that? So that's when I started doing research and discovered QDMA. So at that point of my deer hunting career, it was food plots, it was controlling the doe herds, it was, you know, letting
pinch points,
letting 3-4-year-old deer walk, which now I've gotten to the point where I'll let 5- and 6-year-old deer walk if I see the potential for them to get 7 years old. But I'm very blessed to have a wonderful wife that supports me, and we've, you know, bought some incredible properties together, and that's also very, very helpful. But, you know, putting the time and effort into it, there's a lot that goes with it. Each individual buck is just like it's just like humans, right? They have their own DNA, they have their own personalities. And trying to figure out what the personality is of that deer that you are targeting is very important, right? So you have some deer that are super nocturnal. In fact, the one I've been hunting now is like super nocturnal. You have some deer that run around, they'll cover 3-4 miles. You have some that are super daylighty. You have some that are kind of a mixed, and that's what you have to try to figure out. So once you get that age class, when you're hunting big mature whitetails, when everybody asks me, well, what's the, you know, what would you say is the biggest key to that? And I would say that there's one word that describes it, and that is patience. Big deer don't make they make very few mistakes. We are their biggest predator. You know, obviously you have coyotes and a few other things, but we are their predator. And when you get to that age class of 4, 5, and 6, 7-year-old deer, these deer are very in tune to their surroundings, and they really know what's going on. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to figure out the deer's personality, figuring out their travel patterns, and being able to put myself in the right spot in order to harvest them. And but it takes a lot of hard work, you know, to get to that.
Yeah, you're not going to believe it, but we're running up against break again. But I want to know, and you can start telling us now, but I want to know, we'll go into after the break, when somebody, because we are about deer hunters, waterfowl hunters, turkey hunters, we are about proliferation of the species. We are the best conservationists in the outdoors. Period. Hands
Absolutely.
Down. We spend the most money that is utilized by the government for conservation. We care about putting meat from the field to the table.
Yep.
That is an incredibly natural resource, organic resource. We have the responsibility and the ethics to understand that an animal born to be killed and served at the grocery store has much of a less of a free life than the animal that lives free its whole life and gets whacked one day
Absolutely.
And ends up on the table. Mm-hmm. So the sportsmen and women of the state of Wisconsin are by far the biggest conservationists and the most, if you really want to boil it down, the most ethical eaters, because we're eating a resource that we use our own effort to go harvest versus going to the store to eat an animal that was born in a cage and raised in a cage and and turned into ground meat.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with that. And thank God for farmers, or the vast majority of people wouldn't eat. Thank God for that. However, that's one of the reasons I love to see new hunters getting into the sport. But when we come back from the break, what I want to hear from you is, for someone who is not into it, what are the first things that they have to do? What do they need to do to start ushering in? Because there's a real hyperbolic curve when you start hunting.
Yes.
So I want to hear some of the things you do at the beginning. Then we're going to get into some of the more detailed things about what can make you a better hunter down the road. But I want to start out by talking about how to get into hunting, how to do it in a way that you may or may not be successful, but you're going to see things. Because part of one of the exciting ways to hunt, and the things about hunting, is what you see while you're there. You don't have to kill. Hunting, the more you do it, the longer you do it, is less about the kill and more about the experience.
It's all about God's creation. That's
no
the whole
doubt
thing.
About it. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back on 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, The Shaw. Yeah, little Van Halen.
Joel is rocking
out. Oh, by the way, the best song by Van Halen. And I want to tell you, the Kennedy Clan was the inspiration for all of the songs today.
Aww.
Dan Kennedy really, really wanted the Michael Jackson and the Ricky Martin. So
I feel that's why we're all so upbeat right now.
I think so. Did you know that
really
Ricky Martin used to be in a band called Menudo?
Menudo.
Negative.
Yeah. Do you know what Menudo is? Menudo is a traditionally Mexican dish served for hangovers on Sundays.
Ooh.
It's made of tripe, honeycomb tripe from cows.
I could have used that today.
I love that stuff. Oh. I actually love it. I haven't drank for 10 years, but I still eat menudo.
Huh.
So, but a lot of people say I kind of act like I'm drunk when I'm sober. So that's fine.
People say that about me too.
That's fine.
Is this
people
why we
do
get along?
It's probably why we've known each other for like since you were like,
what?
18 years old, I
18?
Think.
18? Do you know how old I am, Joel?
No, I have no idea, Danielle. 25?
We've known each other for... Oh, I'm hugging you.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost 35.
Well, with permission, you're allowed to hug people now, so...
35, Joel.
With permission. You got to ask permission now to hug people.
Do you have to have a card for that?
You do.
There's an app for that.
I got my hug
card.
Wait,
speaking of app, you can listen to us on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, civicmedia.us.
We are blowing up. I just want to say...
We're all over Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know what? Check out the WAUK website, because we are now in like 5 different markets throughout the state. We're a statewide show, and we're going to be expanding from that, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raised in Wisco really fills an itch. We don't stick to just hunting, but we talk about things that are real to real people, real Wisconsinites, getting outside and enjoying the outdoors, mm-hmm. and everything you do in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Because if you live in this state and you don't participate in the outdoors or utilize the outdoors, you are missing the vast majority of what this state has to offer. It really is a hidden gem.
Like, I know you travel all over the world.
I do.
For all this, but I'm not necessarily local, but I'm Florida, Arkansas, Maine, North Dakota, like, you know, here.
Yeah.
And I've always loved coming back here. I lived in Arkansas. It was beautiful, but man, did I miss Wisconsin. Same with Florida. I'm like, nope. Back to Wisconsin.
Every time I come back, even when I travel abroad, I just had an awesome trip hunting red stag in Spain. That was a really great experience.
Wow.
It was fantastic. But every time you go somewhere, I'm not joking about this, if you ever, ever, ever have a doubt about the United States of America being the greatest country on earth, travel somewhere else, because you want to kiss the ground when you come back every time. The freedoms we enjoy here and the way we govern ourselves compared to the rest of the world is unbelievable. That's why people who say, who are down on this country don't understand. You spend time anywhere else in the world, you will be yearning to come back. And if you don't yearn to come back, then stay there. That's my opinion.
We don't need you here then.
Yep, I agree.
So, Paul House, the Deer Whisperer, has joined us today. I mean, his history in deer hunting is prolific. He's been on television shows. He's got a collection of deer, and he says patience is the key to killing big deer. But I want to talk to you about what someone does who is new to hunting. What do they, what are the first things they should learn? What are the first ways they should attack deer hunting if they want to be successful? Give us, you know, learning curve advice and tell me, how does somebody, I mean, you were really fortunate. You were out there at 9 years old with your dad.
Correct, yes.
I didn't start hunting till I was 38, and then I became obsessed. Then I quit drinking, so it became my drug.
Yes,
It mine still too. Is today. And I want to know what somebody can do, because for me it was a real steep learning curve at age 38, and now it's a large portion of my life. A huge portion. Yep. Outside of the enjoyment of my family, hunting is the most important thing to me in the world. So how can somebody get into it? What are the first things they should learn? What are some trade secrets to become a good hunter from the get-go?
Well, I think with all the resources that we have at our fingertips, you know, one of the most wealthiest, smartest gentlemen in the United States said that YouTube is some of the best teachers on the planet. You know, being able to look through, doing your own research, stuff like that, just giving all of these other aspects of everybody, putting together, is very helpful to be able to do your homework at home. You know, there's a lot of beautiful public hunting grounds in Wisconsin. And
a lot.
If you can spend some time on Google Earth or Onyx Hunt Maps, looking at these places, you know, looking for areas where, you know, let's just say you're going to go to a piece of property you've never been. You're going to want to, you know, check your wind directions. Always walk into your stand with the face, you know, with the wind to your face. Rule number one. And you find areas that look like, you know, funnels or, you know, during the rut, things that are narrowing down where these deer are going to travel, creek bottoms. You know, field edges are devil's advocate just because,
what do you mean by that?
Because, you know, field edges can be, places where bucks will travel, they'll scrape, they'll look for does. But the problem is anytime you hunt a field edge, you know, especially getting into the evening, then you have to expose yourself to the deer and you can't sit in the tree stand until the next day, so you're going to have to get in and out of there. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see with hunters is they go in and they'll sit in a tree stand and it'll be shooting time. They unload their gun and their patience wear out and down they go and they blow the deer out of the field. Well, you can get away with that once, but, you know, you blow a big buck out once, you're going to be dang lucky if you see him again. He'll figure that stuff out pretty quick. So, you know,
it's really that important to walk into the wind when you're walking in.
Oh, absolutely. Access, out of all the things that I do, access is the most important thing that I have to get in and out of my stands. I will not, it's been chewing. In fact, Robbie knows this because he was in the office. We were going through a bunch of paperwork and stuff, and I'm just about chewing my fingers off because I got the wrong winds. I know I can't go into my stand, and I know that I know the deer that I'm hunting's there. But I just won't risk it. I pace back and forth, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, should I risk it? Should I risk it? But I always, you know, make the decision of not to because it just takes that one time. And most of the time, you won't even know that big deer has discovered you. Very, very seldom. Mm. They're so smart.
I always wonder that coming in. Wonder if there's deer ditching out that I never know about because
all
they know.
All the time.
I hate when you all walk into your stand and all of a sudden your trail camera goes off right in front of your stand. Yep. And like, oh, I was coming to, you know, hunt you, but okay, leave.
All the time. Yep. You're blown. I mean, bucks do not blow. Very seldom do they blow. Do they snort? Believe it or not, I mean, a 300-pound deer, you can't even hear them. They'll take off, and you won't even hear them. So, because they're sensing you. I mean, they know when you walk in, it's super important to walk slowly and take 3 or 4 steps and stop. I mean, if you just haul and tail, they know that it's not natural. So there's all these things to get in and out of your access points and using topography for that benefit. I mean, I even go so far to leave up corn or plant green screen or something like that to be able to access my stands where they
what
can't
is green
see
green screen.
It's a 12-foot tall sorghum that I'll plant. So you know, we leave that stuff up and we can sneak right to our tree stands and they don't see. I mean, they can be standing in the, you know, field. So obviously you can't always have everything perfect, but taking that into consideration most of the time will help your success quite a bit. And like I said, I mean, if you're in a tree stand and there's deer in the field, call your buddy, have him come pick you up or whatever. It's better to blow them out with a vehicle than it is for you to actually get out of your
stand. Because they remember that. They'll see that, remember you.
Oh, yeah.
You're explaining all these things that are, it's crazy to me because these are all things that the average person doesn't even think of walking into a stand. A lot of times I've hightailed instead of walking slowly because I think the quicker I get in, the better.
I hold my breath.
I hope I hunt next to your land.
I hold my breath all the time walking in, and I realize I'm holding my breath.
And I'm wondering why I don't have a 160 on the wall. Yeah, exactly. Danielle,
if I hold my breath, I walk quieter. It's obvious.
Yeah, well, you might end up passing out and being like lying in the field on the way to the stand that way too. How important is mentorship?
Very important, and I think that's the biggest thing. And I watch these social media pages and stuff, and I don't really interact. But I mean, I get all these guys. They're, oh, you're hunting with a crossbow. You're this or you're that, and it's like everybody in our community. It's like the deer and the animals are the most important thing. If you feel that using a crossbow or whatever weapon of your choice is going to put a lethal, you know, shot and kill that animal. It's all about the animal, you know, instead of these guys that are out there, you know, complaining about the stuff and getting these kids. They don't need to see that, right? Or right. Anybody getting into hunting for that matter, right? We all need to support each other. And, you know, I shoot a crossbow. They're all tools of the trade. Sometimes I shoot my bow. Sometimes I shoot my crossbow. Depends on, you know, what stand I'm going into. Like late season, I use my crossbow all the time.
Where your lanes are,
all that stuff. Sometimes my tree I can't. So that's frustrating to me. I see that all the time.
I think you just honestly hit it on the head. Nothing infuriates me more than when you go on Facebook and you see these groups that are whitetail hunting groups or waterfowl hunting groups, and somebody posts something and then 20 people bitch about it. It drives me
everybody
maddening.
Has something
it's
to
maddening.
Be upset about.
Because these groups, you know, and if you're new to hunting, you're going to make mistakes. It's part of the joy of hunting is making the mistake, learning from it, and harvesting the animal next time.
I make mistakes every time I'm in the woods,
and so you go on these sites, and you're kind of bearing your soul a little bit. You're opening yourself up a little bit.
Yep.
And then you just get hammered. So social media drives me absolutely bonkers because what we do is you got these basement warriors, you know,
keyboard cowboys, I call them,
in their underpants. And they have absolutely no life.
Yep, they're hung like a field mouse.
I don't think you can say that on the radio. But they want to do is just attack you.
Yeah,
it drives me mad.
I'm with you.
It is so counterintuitive to growing new hunters, growing people into the outdoors. I can't tell you. I take new hunters all the time. That's one of my biggest joys in life. Take new hunters, turkey hunting. I've taken them deer hunting, waterfowl hunting. And everyone's like, oh, you love taking the kids, huh? I can't tell you how many of the new hunters I take are adults, full-blown adults.
Yes. Yeah.
The largest growing segment of the outdoor users in Wisconsin is women age 18 to 35. I have taken wives of friends of mine, wives or friends of my wife. For the first time, some of the greatest experiences I have ever had have been literally with middle-aged people who have never held a firearm in the outdoors, and they harvest a turkey, and they are out
ecstatic.
Of their mind.
Yep.
And
yep.
The first thing they do every time they shoot when that turkey's dead, and I will say women are way better shots than men. I'm just going to put that out. They're 1,000 times better shots
way
than
better.
Men. Because men are, you know, often like jerking the gun around and, you know, I'll get that. Bang, bang, bang. And women.
Our ego takes over.
Our ego takes over. Yeah. It looks like you're not out there with like it was a fully automatic AK-47 or anything. I mean, and the women I've taken, they're methodical and thought out, and they listen, and they're just better hunters at the beginning, and they're better shooters. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not trying to, you know, say men don't get into it if you don't, but giving people the opportunity to get out in the woods without the attacks. And social media has just absolutely destroyed our inclusive spirit in this country.
I started to not post what I harvest just because I know people are always going to say this about that, how I did it wrong. Why am I doing this right? Like, stop questioning me. And then, when I tell them like in person, well, you didn't share it, so it obviously didn't happen.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, what?
Picture it didn't happen. Yeah. How often do you hear that?
And I'm like, really? Calm down. Like,
I mean, we're a little bit off topic here, but that's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay because I want you to know if you're out there and you want to become a hunter, you want to become a fisherman or an angler, don't be afraid of the critics because they're never getting out there. They're sitting in their basement and they're never getting out there. So don't listen to the critics.
They're
get out there.
Talk. Might as well make your mistakes. Good to talk about.
And if you shoot a four-horn buck and you're proud of it and it was the greatest experience of your life, there's nobody who should tell you that that's not an absolute trophy.
People make fun of me for having face paint all the time.
Yeah, but face paint's cool.
I really like it.
We all got to be sportsmen to support each other.
We've got one segment left. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. We're going to have Paul back soon. But we got one segment left. We're going to wrap things up on WAUK. Too much time on my hands by the greatest band of all time, Styx.
Yeah.
Greatest band. Danielle's like, I never heard of Styx.
Pick up Styx,
the game?
No. This is too much time on my... You could let it play for a little behind this if you want, Kevin.
That did the robot thing.
It's so good. The ongoing debate, who is better, Tommy Shaw or Dennis DeYoung? And I saw both of them in concert singing. And I have to say, I think it's a full-scale toss-up. They were both so good. Underestimated awesome band from the 80s and 90s, though. Styx.
Yeah.
They are awesome.
Absolutely.
I wish I could partake in this conversation, but...
That's okay.
I just bought George Strait tickets for my birthday.
You'd have to have listened to an album that was before 1998, Danielle.
I was 10.
That was actually vinyl.
It was actually vinyl at the time. No, I think it might have been cassette.
Oh, maybe we got that far.
Maybe it was that far that we had cassette.
Eight-track.
Paul House is in the house.
Welcome to
you
my
never hear that,
house.
I bet, huh?
Never. Or it's on the house.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We got a packed studio. We've had a packed studio a lot lately. Robbie Brennecke's here. Tracy House is here. Paul House, master of all things whitetail and definitely the deer whisperer.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I want to talk to you about... Now, what's so cool about today is that we're 2 days away from the opening of the gun deer season in Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
And when you ask an average person in the state of Wisconsin, are you a hunter? They will answer, honestly, they will answer that question based on one thing. Most people, 95% of people you ask, are you a hunter? They'll say yes. And when they say yes, what they mean is they go hunting during the gun deer season. Well, that's a separate thing. What they actually do at deer camp is God only knows.
We do not want to know.
Because
some of the guns never come out of the case all week.
I mean, I think it's fantastic when you go home and then whoever else is at your house because I was going to say, the wife, but it's not. I mean,
widow's weekend.
But that's not the case anymore. I mean,
it is.
Women hunters are hunting.
Yes, you're correct.
As much as men, but you come home and your blaze orange doesn't have a speck of dirt on it or a piece of bark because it never left the suitcase. But when you ask people if they're a hunter and they say, yes, they're a hunter, 90% of the time they mean they go out for the gun deer season. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, we have 600,000 people who enter the woods and fields of Wisconsin on opening day.
That's why China will never come to Wisconsin.
That's right. 600 people. Yeah, we do kind of, and they call it the Orange Army.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's because the heritage in Wisconsin takes people who really aren't, don't consider themselves, you know, diehard hunters, but they get out for that deer hunting season.
Absolutely.
The gun great deer sales season. At Fleet Farm too.
It is. It is.
It's a huge, yes, it is a very, very huge industry, and it really helps all the local bars and yep. all the restaurants.
Oh, it definitely
it's
does.
Fantastic. It's
super awesome.
And I am one of those diehard hunters, and I'll be honest with you. My brother-in-law, for example, he's going out. He's like, well, he's from the South. That's the Southern accent. Well, if I go out, I'll be out with my bow. And I'm just like, okay, that's cool. You know, but you get those people who say, like, the true sport of hunting deer, hunting whitetails, is with archery equipment of some sort. And I have no problem with that. You wouldn't exercise that. We have lesser weapons in Wisconsin, so you can use yep. you can use archery. You can use a blowgun. You can't really use a blowgun. I'm just kidding. But you can use archery equipment during the gun season. You can use muzzleloader during the gun season. But my question to Paul is, what changes from your perspective as a seasoned hunter, what is the difference? What are you doing different to prepare? What are you doing different to get in the stand? What are you doing differently when you are going from the bow season to the gun season? What is the big difference there? If you have been pursuing them with a bow and now it's the gun season, what changes?
Well, for me, it just depends. I mean, like I said, I'm a tool of the trade. So, I mean, I will sometimes still use my crossbow. But as far as, like, my tactics and stuff, usually we get in this time
yes,
of the year.
Yes, what tactics change for you when you hit the gun season?
Well, usually we're into what we call the lockdown period. That's the time where all the mature bucks and most of the bucks are in courtship. And they're really holding super tight
it
to cover.
It sounds so romantic.
It does. It made me smile.
Yeah.
Strangers in the night.
It's not courtship when they walk out in front of my stress. Weapon.
What could be the flight? That's my little Sinatra. That's about it, though.
That's it,
for
eh?
Now. Well, unless we hit karaoke later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I stay far with
that's
karaoke.
That's funny.
You can still karaoke. You can still serenade me.
I'm the only person who will sing karaoke stone sober. I'll do it.
Oh, my friend Annie Belsky will get you.
I will
so
kill
hard.
"Coming to America" by Neil Diamond. Absolutely wreck it.
I will challenge you in Annie. I challenge. This is going to happen. We'll go Facebook we're, Live we're, about
Paul, well,
it.
Well, okay, Paul and no. Tracy have to come.
Okay.
All right.
Go back.
Go yeah, to yourself.
This all is right, the last
so, I regress.
So usually this time of the year, I'm really, really focused on doe bedding areas, right? And I do sometimes even the playing field, as much as I love to chase them with archery equipment and crossbow, I will sometimes level the playing field, which I might do that this year. But, you know, it's just focusing on those areas. You know, most hunters are, you know, in and out of the woods. They go in at, you know, hour before sunup, half an hour, whatever. They come out at 9. I see a lot of deer movement between 10 and 2. And so the guys that are sitting all day, you know, everybody's in and out and they're walking all over the property. So they're moving deer around. And after the second, third day, those deer know where to go. I mean, they're not stupid. They go through this every single year. You know, the first day or two, it's going to be super cold. Them deer are going to have to get up and feed. So they're probably starting to shift to them bedding areas that are closer to their food sources. You know, we get into the low teens.
Because it seems like opening day you see deer and then boom, nothing.
Ghost
for
town.
7 days.
And ghost that's town. That, yep. And that's that lockdown period. So typically Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I don't remember ever shooting a good deer on opening weekend ever. In fact, it's usually Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday, you
really?
Know. Yeah.
So get back out there on the second half of the gun season.
Yeah, most
but treat it.
Can we start shooting the doe now, though?
Do you have to treat it as carefully with
later.
Wind and scent and everything like that?
Oh, absolutely.
You
but
do.
90% of the people throw that out the window because they think,
right.
Oh, well, I've got a rifle in my hand. I can reach out and touch them. But no, you're still hunting the same deer.
Well, and
you're
I'm
still hunting
tell
the same
you what,
way.
A lot of people don't realize a rifle is not a shotgun. You are throwing one bullet.
Yes.
And you've got to be awfully accurate with that one bullet to make an ethical shot on
yes.
an animal. Yeah, for
wow.
real. The show's over. Yes, folks. Kennedy Clan out in Oconomowoc. The music was dedicated to you. Paul House, the
thank
man.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you
house.
For having me. And
so
good luck
guest.
To everybody
such
this weekend.
A great guest.
Yeah, stay
he
safe.
He is going to be back with us the week after Thanksgiving. Next week on Thanksgiving, we've got a highlight show to bring you. And then Paul House is going to come back. Tracy House, thank you for joining us today. Rob Brennecke, you're the man. You have been listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. We'll see you soon. Be safe in the woods. Get that buck.
Too much time on my...
That's it. That was the fastest hour that I've...